against him. We saw a group of rabbis say that Jews would be in danger if he was to become the mayor. You know, some of the people that I spoke to for the story, I kind of asked to elaborate. When you say you live in fear of him, what do you actually mean? And the explanation that I heard was that his criticism of Israel, which has now been accepted by, you know, multiple human rights organizations, is equivalent to advocating for violence against Jews. What I argue is that kind of assumption of Muslims is inherently racist, to assume that we have hatred towards Jews and to kind of use that as a bludgeon to make it so that our views on Palestine can't be expressed publicly.
Mm-hmm. And of course, so many thousands of his organizers or canvassers on the ground are Jewish New Yorkers.
Exactly.
I want to end by thanking you. Meher Ma'amed is a staff editor for the New York Times opinion section. Her latest essay for the New York Times is headlined, "When I Look at Zoran Mamdani, Here's What I See." In the print version, the headline was, "What Does It Mean to Be a Good Muslim in America?" That does it for our show. Democracy Now! Is produced with Mike Burke, Renee Feltz, Dina Guzder, Messiah Rhodes, Nermeen Sheikh, Maria Tarasena, Nicole Salazar, Sarah Nasser, Tarina Nadura, Sam Alkoff, Tamari Astudio, John Hamilton, Robbie Karen, Hani Massoud. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
You are tuned in to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming on the web at kboo.fm.
Coming this Monday, 2 p.m., October 27th, on the Monday Sampler.
Well, it's big and terrible.
Join me, Fortunato, for our Halloween special.
More frightening than I ever thought possible.
We're going to have some monsters, some movie extracts, some Halloween music. Creature, with the atom brain. And a couple of scary stories. So tune in this Monday right here on KBOO at 2 p.m. for the Halloween Monday Sampler Special.
Nothing can save the city now.
Support for KBOO comes from its members and from 988 Oregon, a public service helping those who are stressed, worried, or just feeling down when they call or text 988. Support is confidential, and call takers are real people in Oregon who speak with understanding and respect. More info at 988oregon.org.
Good morning. You are listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO. 90.7 in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, 104.3 in Corvallis, and via the World Wide Web, it is kboo.fm. Today is Monday, the 27th of October. If you are listening live, it is 8:01 a.m. I am Cecil Prescott, and I will be your host this morning. If you are interested in calling and sharing some of your thoughts or information, our numbers here in the studios are 503-231-8187. And put that in your phone and save it, because you might want to call. Well, thank you all for joining this program. And I appreciate everything that everyone is doing. I hope your weekend went well. And if you are in the Portland area, it seems as if certainly autumn has come, and that means rain and weather that's a bit cooler, and rain and leaves and rain, and yeah, you know what it's like. But that is what makes this such a wonderful world because things continue to change. And talking about change, how can we not talk about what's happening in our worlds today? I'm always cautious about coming on the program after Democracy Now! Because oftentimes frequently I get new information, and I'm grateful for that. But my immediate reaction is sometimes anger, sometimes fear, sometimes disappointment. And I think all of those are legitimate. I want to talk this morning, engage in conversations with you on several topics. But first I want to begin by noting that the demolition of the East Wing of the White House is symbolic of the demolition of what many people believe was the social contract of the American Republic by this administration. What can people say? It is frustrating and causes one to anger and worry about the future of our nation and indeed the world. But every once in a while, I think it's important to, in the midst of this destruction, to find sources if not inspiration or hope, certainly things that can help us manage and transform our world. And so after I had the opportunity yesterday afternoon, evening to watch the rally in New York in my for Zohran Mamdani, his final rally, who's running for mayor of New York. And at that rally, AOC and Sanders spoke, and they reference Eugene V. Debs and how they had just come back from Eugene V. Debs' home in Terre Haute, Indiana, had an opportunity to visit his home, and Senator Sanders was given an award. But that motivated me to say, well, let me see what I can find out more about Eugene V. Debs. And happened to come across a documentary film about him. And what I found interesting is the similarities between the times that he faced, and he was active from the times of the late 19th century through the 20th century, but also in terms of the attacks upon those who are advocating for social change, and also the comparison between the Gilded Ages he faced and the Gilded Age we face today. It reminds me that there's much work to be done. And so I found that inspiring. Also want to talk about Senator Merkley, who gave a 22-hour speech on the Senate floor last week. Also want to note other things about where we are as a nation, that beginning next month, SNAP benefits for 750,000 of Oregonians will vanish. What are we doing for that? But there's much on my mind, but there's someone who has something to say online. So let's go to our caller. Joe, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yeah, I think I can't speak to the topic of Jeff Merkley, but I can speak to my concern is that many people in the news and the public aren't talking about this kind of crisis that's hitting us. On July 4th, Trump signed his big, quote, beautiful law, which provides tax cuts for the rich and is basically austerity for the poor. And Oregon tax code follows federal tax code. So most people don't know that that damage is now in our state and will be adopted as tax code unless there is a special session. And the Oregon Center for Public Policy lays this out. But I would encourage KBOO staff and readers or listeners to kind of look at the Oregon Center for Public Policy webpage. It's called OCPP. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, you know, why everyone's in the No Kings March, but I didn't see anybody on the speeches talking about this damage. And it's about a deficit in our budget yearly of $900 million. That's almost $1 billion that we're losing because our tax codes are kind of linked, and we are not uncoupling those. We did those in the first Trump term, but Kotek and Dan Rayfield, the House Speaker, and the President, Senate President Wagner, they're not really doing anything this round to decouple from Trump's tax code. So maybe other callers can call in or something about that. Like, why is there no panic about this budget hole? And it's going to mean cuts to schools, it's going to mean cuts to everything that draws from the general fund in Oregon. I'll rest on you.
Well, thank you for bringing up those points and referencing us to the website. And maybe people need to talk about this and talk about the tax code. So I appreciate you calling, Joe. We're having problems with you, so we're going to have to let you go with the connection. But I would refer people to the observation that Joe made about how the president's new bill impacts Oregon and how our tax code are impacted by that. Well, thank you for that, and thank you for your observation and reminding us that we need to stay aware and we need to hold our local officials accountable. We may feel that we have no impact on the president, but certainly we have impact locally in your county, your city, and in our state. And so we should be very aware of what's happening in our state, how federal policies impact state government, and what are things we can do to prevent the worst of Trump's policies to impact Oregonians and those in our area. Certainly, there is much to be done, and we need to see what we can do to make things better. Thank you, Joe, for calling and reference those points that are very important. So, federal policy impact our states, and as Joe mentioned, our observation on tax policy, but also to continue on in terms of SNAP benefits being cut for 757,000 Oregonians next month. Food banks need our help. Food banks need your help as more and more people line up and require the services. So we may not be able to impact federal policy immediately, but there are things we can do to help our neighbors and our friends. You're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO. I'm Cecil, and let's go to our next caller. Ed, good morning.
Good morning, Cecil. How are you today?
I'm well, and you? What?
I'm doing pretty good. I just kind of wanted to restate the, you know, cognitive thinking and the clarity of reality. If we, the people, stop funding the government by claiming exempt on our taxes and stop sending them money, they won't have money to take from us. They won't have the ability to fund these wars against our people by funding ICE. All the people have to say, oh, no, we don't want this. We claim exempt. And when the feds try to come take the money, say, no, we do not consent to be taxed for a war on us. And if millions of us do this, and it's going to take millions, they will lose trillions. So, you know, the only thing that we can really do is take their money away by not giving it to them.
Well, let me ask you, since that's a very good point, and there are people who are tax resistors, but what do you think about, that's one action that we can do, is saying we'll hold our money back. There's also been talk about a general strike. What do you think of that?
All in. I'm in on it.
Okay.
The next one is November 25th to December 2nd. Don't spend money. Don't go anywhere. Don't buy in. And especially Black Friday. Don't buy. Like, you know, that's huge. If corporations don't get the money they expect on Black Friday and this holiday season, because everybody says no, you're supporting this government. You're supporting what's going on. You're capitulating. We won't give you our money. It's going to take voting with our money. Well, stop giving the government our money for this to happen.
Well, yeah, certainly not, you know, not only our government, but the suggestion you mentioned in terms of shopping and how dependent we are on these massive things. So I'll just say, you know, we spend too much money, like on Amazon, and, you know, they send in their money to, you know, they bound before Trump. And so why are we doing that? Buy local.
Buy local and stop spending your money as much as possible, period. Because, I mean, I can buy local all I want, but if I'm still buying the same products, then it's not going to change a lot of things that are happening.
Right, yeah.
Yes, I absolutely agree. Shop as local as possible. Give it to the next door neighbor. Give your money to the next door neighbor as much as you can. Don't go to the corporate entities and buy all your stuff there. Stay local, but try to buy local products as well.
Yes, yes.
There's all over around where I live in Washington, there's a lot of little local farms that are selling their stuff at the street side vendor things, and just Venmo your money to them.
Excellent.
Spend your money with them more.
Excellent.
Help them out. You know, that's the way. We can only make a change with our money.
Yes.
And every day we go and we shop and we buy, we vote with our money.
Certainly. We have agency. We can make those decisions. So thank you so much, Ed, for reminding us.
But it's going to take millions to stop giving them our money.
That's right.
For them to feel it.
Indeed. But let's get on it. Thank you so much, Ed. You're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. That was Ed, who was sharing about how people might respond to resist the authoritarian regime that has taken over our country. And his suggestion was to not only just say no, but to say no with your money. So he offered suggestions about tax resistance, and I think he liked the idea of community action, a community strike, general strike, all things that people can do to continue to resist the authoritarian regime that we are in. Going back to the food benefits that are being cut, and the program is fully funded by the U.S. Department of Agriculture, but the department is at a standstill as a result of the federal shutdown. Nevertheless, that money can go out, but the administration is saying no. The community must do what it can to help. And one way, in our ways, to make sure that people in our communities continue to be fed and nourished. We may not be able to change federal policies, but we can help our community. It may not move mountains, but it may help someone eat tonight. Let's go to our next caller. Tangent, good morning.
Hey, Cecil. The gentleman before was talking about Black Friday. And I wanted to remind folk where that came from. That was a direct response to a small movement that was growing called Buy Nothing Day. That was back, I think, in the 90s or something. But within a couple of years, I think William Barber, Reverend William Barber, was involved with it.
Hmm.
It was for family to not go out and rush out and buy after Thanksgiving, but maybe, hey, enjoy yourselves. Stay right. a little longer
right.
with each other. But, yeah, no, that was a direct threat to them, man. You think these are, like, super fantastic prices, and comparatively they are, but these guys aren't losing a dollar. They're selling them to you at cost, and that is why it seems so cheap. But they're making 100% markup on every other day.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. They're just getting rid of inventory. They won't have to count. It's fine for them. You know, they're not losing.
They're not losing, but we're paying for it, and and pay more with the tariffs. So,
yeah. All right. Well, that was all. I could probably go on. I guess. Oh, here's one. I was from the March last week. I came up with "Long Live King Nun."
Okay. All right.
Playing off the old monarchy thing, yeah. But you have to use these things sometimes. Or King Nil, could be King Nil.
King Nil, yeah, that'll work as well. Hey.
All right.
Thank you
so
much. Thank you. Bye-bye. Peace to you, my friend. You're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. That was a friend of the station who calls, and that was Tangent with some advice about how we should treat one another. Let's see what are some other thoughts. We have another caller on the line. Sharon has some thoughts. Good morning, Sharon. Hello, are you there? She's not coming through. Hello? Okay, Sharon, are you there? I think we lost Sharon. Well, while we're working on that, hopefully Sharon will call back and share their thoughts. Our last caller was Tangent, who shared some thoughts about our community and how we ought to be and how do we ought to respond to the threats we're facing right now. And there are many ways in which people can... Okay, I think we have Sharon now. Good morning, Sharon.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for managing to hanging in there. So
I can usually manage a few, like a minute wait. That's pretty cool.
Okay.
I am. Two things. I love this conversation. One, a lot of people have talked about how important it is to let our voice be our buying is our power. That is one way that we're being used and controlled and contributing to what's happening. So there's a book that I just want to recommend. I agree with everything that people said. I think it's wonderful. There's a book that might be helpful for those of us that like to look at a book.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Wallet Activism, and that's the same thing. It was published a few years ago. Same thing, voting with your dollar, basically, and how to do it.
Mm.
So that might be something that people see that as a power, as a way to have power in the situation. That might be really helpful if that is something that would help, you know, them to have a book to guide them. The other thing I wanted to ask about was about the food benefits. And I love donating to local food banks, and that, you know, that certainly, absolutely, we have to make sure people have food. And I wanted to know if they could tell us or where to best find a good list of local food banks and how to contact them and what kind of things people for the food banks would want.
That's a good question. I'm you know, I would say immediately to go to call the Oregon Food Bank, and they can probably direct you there. And let's see, we're trying to get up.
Yeah, I like to keep it local. Like, of course, mm-hmm. I get stuff from, like, Salvation Army. You know, they send things out. But I'd like to be able to directly address, you know, my neighbors.
Right, right.
And what they need. And, yeah.
Yeah. If, you know, call the Oregon Food Bank, and they may be able to give you a general things that are needed.
Okay.
Perfect. Or Sunshine Division and City Team in Portland. Those are choices. Okay. Thank you. Hey, thank you so much, Sharon, and thank you for your hanging in there through our technical problems and for sharing some very good advice.
Okay, great. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. And you are continuing to listen to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station. That was Sharon, who was concerned about our neighbors and friends and wanted to know how they might be able to be involved. Sunshine Division, Oregon Food Banks, or some places where you can begin to call and reach out, and they can give you some direction. You may know a local food pantry in your community. You might reach out to them to go there and to help. They also need volunteers as well. You may not be able to contribute, but you may be able to help pack food and distribute food. There's lots of things we can do because ultimately it's on us. You're listening to More Talk Radio here in your community radio station. I'm Cecil, and next up we will hear from Tuwasi. Good morning, Tuwasi.
Good morning. Hey, you know, as an Indigenous person, I just have to remind everyone listening that the United States government is perfectly content to use hunger as a weapon. My dad had to fight in the fish wars here in the Pacific Northwest just to have a right to fish. You know, food, it's considered a human right. And, you know, the people who deprived my family of food now have their hands on the levers of power. So for them to deprive any family of food, it doesn't even bother them in the slightest.
Yeah.
So, you know, while we might think that it's inhumane or barbaric or unrealistic, or it's hard for us to believe, for Indigenous people, it's hardwired into us.
Right.
The government will starve you. Yeah. They starved us over and over again. So buy some beans and rice. Put away some cans of Spam. You know,
yeah.
Even if you don't have a lot of money, work with people, you know, talk to your neighbors. It's okay to ask for help. And this is really important. If you're feeling isolated and afraid and in danger, ask for help. All of those people who were on the No Kings March, allegedly, they want to help people. So if you are hungry, for God's sake, ask for help. And if you're an Indigenous person, check on your elders, because they were barely making it before. And without food stamps, and you know, they're cutting IHS service and all kinds of other things for Indians in Indian country. So including our food subsidies that are part of our treaty rights.
Yeah.
So when we gave up our land, there was food and education and health care promised, depending on which treaty you look at. And the federal government is violating those treaties yet again. So, you know, while white America has seen it happen to us over and over again, rejoicing, taking part in killing off the buffalo, massacring the salmon, you know, tearing down our food sovereignty, While you guys have been doing that, they've been making plans to do it to you. And, you know, we see it coming to fruition right now. So if you have any capacity to put food on your shelves, I'm begging you to do it. And I've called into KBU and said this for years on end now. They're happy to starve you. So please, for God's sake, put food on your shelves.
Thank you, Tuwasi. Thank you. Thank you for reminding us that the U.S. Has used hunger as a weapon, for reminding us of the war the U.S. has continue to have on indigenous people, and the fact that many other people are experiencing this now is just a reminder that this has been the character of the U.S. government. But food, as Tuasi reminded us, should be considered a human right. It should not be used as a weapon. And certainly this administration in this season, by refusing to help the most vulnerable, by withholding food, is continuing expanding a cruel practice that has been endemic to the American experience. You're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. I'm Cecil, and we are speaking about what we can do to meet the challenges of this hour. Certainly things are changing, and there are all sorts of actions that we can take. One action that happened recently, Senator Merkley of Oregon delivered an almost 23-hour speech in the U.S. Senate on authoritarianism, surpassing Senator Moss' record as the longest speech by an Oregonian on the U.S. Senate. And what Senator Merkley wanted was to emphasize that we are in the midst of a terrible situation. He said, quote, "The longer you are in an authoritarian state, it becomes more and more entrenched." Again, the longer you are in an authoritarian state, it becomes more and more entrenched. The president has been in power for 10 months. Things are becoming worse. I've heard people saying, well, we just have to wait till the midterm, 2026, and then we can turn things around. Well, as Mr. Merkley observed, and I agree, the longer an authoritarian regime remains, it becomes more and more entrenched and much more difficult to resist the change. But how do we do that? How do we resist authoritarianism? Some people might say that something ways are more effective than others. Now, Senator Merkley was praised for speaking so long, but he was also, some people criticized him. Was it performative or not? Because, you know, the cost was for extra work for the staff and for the police, who, because of the government shutdown, are not being paid. But Mr. Merkley thought it was important to note as a follow-up for the No Kings rally. So for all of us, what are things we can do to resist and to overthrow this authoritarian regime? Let's hear some of your thoughts on this or other topics. And let's hear from Santiago now. Good morning.
Good morning. I kind of want to piggyback on what Tuasi said. Like I shared this thing a few days ago, and it's from the Lakota Nation. Hmm. They said, "Now that oppression knocks at your door, you rise up crying, no kings. Welcome. You just arrived at the starting line of a race we've been running for 500 years. I think that I really feel like, you know, because, I mean, the fact of the matter is that, you know, no kings is primarily white people. I mean, it's just what it is. But I think it's very telling, you know. I mean, we saw a lot of support at the George Floyd protests from white people, which is probably what made it as safe as it was.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But I think more importantly, you know, we don't really, Americans don't really have a good working understanding of their own history. Like you, like no, there were people right. holding signs at the rally saying that the founding fathers weren't fascists.
Hmm.
And it's like, well, fascists to who? Like maybe not to you, maybe not to somebody who looks like you, but to indigenous folks like me, you know, enslaved Africans, absolutely fascist, totalitarian, genocidal. This, and, you know, and recognizing that this country was built on genocide and enslavement. And I think people say that without recognizing what that entails. And, you know, especially for liberals, you know, they support the, you know, they never support liberation movements at the time, but they always support them in hindsight.
Right.
You know, meanwhile, we have people who are out here fighting for their lives and, you know, and it's like, and you know, and they're tone policing.
Well, let me ask you in terms of, I think those are very good observations, and following up on Tuwasi, and I think the observation, you said it almost in passing, I think you referenced George Floyd, but also No Kings, you know, why they were so safe was, and I've heard other people make the same observation, it was because of all white people. So, but in your observation, you know, welcome to this struggle, do you think those who are experiencing what many people have experienced for centuries, will they listen to indigenous people? Will they listen to brown and black people? Will they or will they remain in control? How do we?
I mean, I honestly couldn't tell you. I'm not a fortune teller, but I can tell you that when black and brown folks did lead the conversation, black and brown folks led the conversation, made a hell of a difference.
Hmm.
And so much to the fact that like most of our greatest revolutionary thinkers who were born and bred in this country have been left out of the wider conversation of liberation movements.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Kwame Ture was erased from the Selma movement, the movie about Selma.
Hmm.
Even though like
they
made about Martin Luther King, but like, Kwame Ture was a huge part of SNCC and all of the other movements that supported the larger, larger movements. You had, Malcolm X. You know, people don't talk about how he shared. You know, he shared a room with Fidel Castro. He shared a room with Ho Chi Minh. You know, one of his closest friends was a Japanese communist. I mean, we talked about her, Yuri Kochiyama. I mean,
mm-hmm.
we don't understand that, like, you know, that the. We, you know, when okay. black and brown folks lead the conversation, it makes things nervous because ultimately at the end of the day, we're not here to preserve institutions. We're here to create democracy. And liberals, on the other hand, you know, they want liberation, but they want liberation that doesn't cost them anything. You know, that's what Kwame Ture said on the, you know, talking about, you know, the pitfalls of liberalism.
Sure.
Is that, you know, when we, you know, because liberals even ultimately understand that a lot of the institutions, even if they hate them, prop them up. And, you know,
okay.
And so a lot of them, you know, like, I mean, I've talked to dudes who literally say, like, I don't care what happens as long as they don't touch my pension.
Yeah.
And now they're going to touch his pension and now he has something to say, but it's like, but you know, but it's so disingenuous. And I mean, I'm not saying like, I'm not, you know, and I'm not here trying to like bag on.
Yeah. People's pain. Sure.
But you know, but I mean, the fact of the matter is that like, this has been happening. And what Trump is doing to everyone has been happening in black and brown communities for decades, for right. centuries. And because it was happening to us, because there was no recording, there wasn't people who had the ability to document it. We're like, oh, you poor things. That's terrible. How can, you know, like white supremacy must be awful. And it's, you know, and it's like, and now that they're experiencing what that feels like, because I mean, ultimately fascism is just imperialism turned inward.
Right.
You know?
Okay.
They're finally seeing it. And it's, I think it's really hard for them to bear. And they really don't know what to do because they don't have any experience fighting it.
Okay. Hey, hey, thanks, Santiago. There's a couple of callers mm-hmm. behind you, but I appreciate what you're saying about welcome to the race. And hey, you know, folks, listen to black and brown people. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir.
You're listening to More Talk Radio here in your community radio stations. What can we do now? One observation, Santiago mentioned about the No Kings protest, and interesting, in Hawaii was called No Dictators rallies. And, well, if you know anything about Hawaiian history, you understand why. Let's go to our next caller, Joan. Good morning.
Yeah, hi there. Interesting as always. I'm not going to dispute what Santiago is saying. And actually, not being Native American, I've been saying for a while now, if you look at the way what's happening with the land grab, the rents and everything else, of course, they are taking everyone else's land. But the main point I want to call in on is one sentence. Unity is our power. Unity is our power. At this point, if we make it about black and white, and we make it about black and brown, and we make it about liberal and conservative, and we make it about Democrats and Republicans, we're doomed. That's their MO.
So
unity is our power.
So how
we have to leap over a lot of this stuff that divides us.
So what?
And go, yeah, this is happening, and we don't like it. And there's a sign that says, only you can resist fascist liars. And I have a copy of that. But the real thing is, only we can resist fascist liars.
So
that means resisting internet addiction.
Let me,
you know, and resisting everything that divides us. Everything.
Let me ask you, Joan. You mentioned unity is our power, which is it's a phrase I think we can agree on in the abstract. But what is it that unites us?
What is it that unites us is our humanity.
Okay.
And our humanity unites us.
Okay.
If we're talking about human rights, that's everybody's rights. And that includes everything that happened in history, and in the United States for sure, but also in other places in the world.
Excellent.
We are human beings. Those of us who care about other human beings and who feel that peace is important and that feeding people is important, and that it's totally wrong that people should be living in bus shelters. You know what I'm saying? Those of us who agree on that should have to find a way to agree on the other stuff.
When
it's time to vote, when it's time to, you know, distribute food, when it's time to be kind to a human being, when it's time to listen to somebody, there's a person, I'm a person, we are human beings. Gay or straight, trans or not, we have to find a way to honor and respect each other as human beings, because thinking as though we are these little categories that have to fight for crumbs and defeat each other and accuse each other and blame each other and not understand each other and not listen to each other, we are giving it over to the other side.
Thank you.
And the other side are the people who are human, but they're acting in a way that really needs to be transcended. We have to elevate our consciousness to include all humanity. And that includes me, and that includes you, and that includes everybody that's sitting there on the bus next to me.
Thank you.
If somebody's acting out, then I have to try to understand what's behind that. And figure out a way to, if I need to relate to that person, to relate to that person as a human being.
Thank you, Joan.
Ask the guy on the street who's lying on the street. That's a human being just like me.
Okay, Joan, we need to go on to our next caller. I appreciate you calling and appreciate your emphasis on our common humanity, which will unite us and allow us to see commonality with not only our neighbors, our friends, but those who we deem are our enemies. Let's go to our next caller. Janet, good morning.
Hey, good morning. I like all that stuff that Joan was saying.
A little
complex, Joan of Arc complex, and I'm going to turn 80 this week, so...
Oh, happy birthday.
Maybe I wasn't born on Halloween for nothing, that I can think of some kind of a way to get my broomstick and my sweep things up a little bit.
Yay.
The topic of unity I've thought about for quite some time, and the fact that we're just talk about wisdom and compassion, but we're just ordinary people. And so, of course, I have a certain amazing fondness for my great-grandson, but then the opportunity to have enough wisdom and compassion to, like, really not have survivor guilt that he's okay and smiling, considering what's going on in the world.
Yes.
That we're just ordinary human beings. And so, you know, so we have to substitute for wisdom and compassion, maybe faith and courage. It takes a lot of courage these days to really put out for other people. And I remember back in the early 80s, I was teaching this class, and the kids would do the 20 statements test, which is start everything with I am, mm-hmm. and then add up the columns to say, like, what role you play. And it's kind of an identity thing. So, like, back in the 50s, it was like, oh, I'm a milkman or I'm a postman, mm-hmm. and then there's no jobs. And so what really came out of it was the cultural lead was people who've struggled for many, many, many generations. They're able to switch around and do this, do that, do the other, do what they can do, and figure out how to help each other. Mm. And so what the people are calling in about now comes the proof of how we can develop our character down under. This unity thing is not just like join up and say, okay, we're all have little placards about our health care,
right.
But to unite as human beings, for me to unite as a great grandmother, to be thinking it's going to be so incredibly nefarious what's happening in the universe, but within myself to have enough clarity to connect with another human being, that's really huge, because generally we procrastinate. We're just ordinary people, and this or that. It's so hard not to just care about your family. But
right.
But when we really reach out and we have a big family like your family, like I'm going to call in, Santiago is calling in, and these other extraordinary people, my favorite people in the world are over the fishermen that come down from Warm Springs and this and that. So you really cover all the bases, and keep at it, because just the encounter with each other, and especially with just the voice, and we can't see what each other looks like, is phenomenal. So keep up the amazing work.
Well, you keep it up as well. Thank you, Janet, for calling and reminding us of our common humanity and the need to connect with each other.
But when we really reach out and we have
And you're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. That was Janet who wanted to affirm the comment of a caller before her, Joan, of the need for clarity to connect with each other, to acknowledge our common humanity. We are not islands. We are intimately connected with each other, and that we cannot move forward as a species, as a planet, until we are aware of our commonality. There's so much that has happened, that continues to happen, that may put people in a space where they seem to be overwhelmed. They don't know what to do or who to speak out to. But there is something we all can do. I want to reference an earlier caller. I believe it was Sharon who referenced a book called Wallet Activism. It's a book by Tanja Hester, H-E-S-T-E-R is their last name. Wallet Activism, How to Use Every Dollar You Spend, Earn, and Save as a Force for Change. Okay. Thank you for that recommendation. And that is yet another book that you may put on
on your bookshelf for things to read. You're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station. Several of our callers have shared their insights and their information about who we are and how we can transform ourselves. Sharon, as I mentioned, who mentioned in terms of making a difference with your wallet. There are things that we can do about how we spend, what we spend, and callers mentioned that this entering into the season where people are buying gifts and holiday presents and things such as that. And we can be strategic. You can be strategic about what to do or how you spend or if you spend. We spoke also about who we are and what can we do. One of our earliest callers mentioned the need to resist with our dollars by not funding the government. There are certainly war tax resistors, but that caller said, what if we said no, if we did not give them money? It's an observation. So that's something we might consider about how we fund our government and how we ought to demand our representatives to be responsible. And as I said, the almost 800,000 Oregonians who will not receive their SNAP benefits in November, it isn't because the money isn't there. It is there. But this federal government is, and thank you, Tawasi, for your observation, is pulling something out of their toolbox that they have used as a weapon against indigenous people. Hunger as a weapon. While many of us believe that food is ought to be considered as a human right, people have observed that this administration is being as cruel as possible by using hunger as a weapon. And as observers have noted, this isn't anything new, but more and more people, read white people, are being impacted by these horrible policies that black and brown people have faced on this land for a century. Joan reminded us, though, that unity is our power. And while we may have differences, that we must unite in order to resist, to overcome those things which will try to deny our human rights of food, of shelter, of safety. Unity, Joan reminded us, is our power. The struggle, I think, is to find that unity and to find our power. What is it that unites us, and how can we move forward together without pointing our fingers or weapons at one another and denying our common humanity. Janet, follow up with her observation of needing to connect with one another. And certainly we can unite in many different ways. We can write an email to a legislator. We can do things such as that. But I think Janet was reminded enough of something that is very important, especially in these times, to find our common humanity by being very intentional about being in community. We had a caller, I can't remember who it was, who'd said that when you need help, you need to reach out and say you need help.
the observation that, you know, that tens of thousands of people throughout the state of Oregon, and throughout, you know, millions of people throughout the United States last weekend stood up and saying, no, we need a change. And the observation was that these are people who are willing to help. So we need to help, know our community, live for our community. It's more than standing up and carrying a sign, although that is important. What it comes down to, especially in these times, is how are we strengthening all our bonds so that we are empowered to resist those awful things that our federal government are doing. We need to build and strengthen our community, protect our neighbors. There's so many people continuing to live in fear. The secret police is rounding up people outside, you know, apartment buildings, near schools, near shopping centers. We need to resist this authoritarian regime in many different ways, and each person can do their own part. Earlier I mentioned Senator Merkley's 23-hour speech on the U.S. Senate, and had been criticized by some as being maybe performative, as some people might criticize rally. It makes you feel good, but what change, they may ask, does it really make? Well, I think change may begin internally. The change may begin within yourself by recognizing you are not alone. You are not the only one who look around at the world today and say, this is not the way things ought to be. You are not alone to say, looking at the president and his administration and saying, there's something fundamentally wrong with the direction. There's something wrong with what they are saying and doing. So rallies or coming together in community strengthen us. We find our voice, and in it we find our power. And people are doing many things, whether it is providing food, it is providing clothes, whether it is caring for a child while their parents are away. There are many things we can do. Resistance takes on many forms. No, there is no one size fit all. There are many things that many people are doing. An important thing, and I'll say it again, is that you are not alone, and that when you need help, as a caller reminded us, reach out. There are people all around us, our neighbors and our friends. And on this community radio station is a means by which we continue building community, allowing people to find their voice, and being able to reach out to their neighbors. So, whether it is participating in as a volunteer in an organization, our engineer told me that he became involved in KBOO by needing to volunteer and coming across an ad about volunteers. There are many things that you can do, and only you can do. Don't feel powerless. You have power. When you feel as if the world is off kilter, remind yourself that there are people around and that there are amazing things that people are doing. Thank you for what you are doing. Remember to breathe. Remember to not overburden yourself, but remember that you are good enough and that you are able to do what you are called to do.
You've been listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO. If you feel so motivated, and I know all of you are, why don't you go to kboo.fm/give and find one way in which you can participate by joining this community and doing things to change our world. In the meantime, take care of yourself, those people around you. You are not alone. I'm Cecil Prescott, and I will see you. I won't see you. I will speak with you next time.
Tune into Talking Earth, a show dedicated to showcasing our local poetry scene and poetry and spoken word from around all cultures and around the world. Join hosts Stan Raphael and Michael Van Cleek on the